Today is March 19th, Phoenix, Arizona, and the 5-year anniversary of going to war in Iraq. There's protests throughout the country, and here in Phoenix, there's a protest in front of the Senator McCain's office on 16th Street. The protest is happening this evening between 4:30 and 7:30. And already at this time, there's been dozens and dozens of arrests of protesters from the East Coast in Connecticut, throughout the United States, to the West Coast in San Francisco.
In D.C. just recently, with Trump takes and Iraq veterans against the war. And one of the things that Code Pink did wonderfully well, they convert traditional lyrics to traditional songs to anti-war songs. Anyway, I was going to sing today, but I'm starting to get a cold. Anyway, there's a great bunch of lyrics to God Bless America. And it goes like this, I'm going to talk it. And it's basically saying, I miss America. We need you now. Because our leaders are cheaters, and they're keeping our troops in Iraq. Climbing mountains, crossing oceans, and invading foreign soils. Miss America. No blood for oil. I miss America. No blood for oil. Okay. Our first speaker, who we're extremely pleased to have, Charles Boyette. Charles Boyette is with KFNX and also is affiliated with antiwarradio.com.
Before we get started, we've got an array of very interesting speakers, and it's a good thing because we have a lot of records to set straight today. First of all, I would like you to all turn, smile, and wave Homeland Security and the Patriot Police across the street. You know they are videotaping you. You want to give them a big smile because hopefully this time next year they won't be on the job. And I saw Gordon Liddy over there, so they must be working pretty hard today. Now, if John Hancock can sign his name big enough that the king has to wear his spectacles, we can smile and wave at the Patriot Police. Is that not right? There are those, there are those who knew 5 years ago that we had no business invading Iraq, and we call them the wise. And there are those who know now, 5 years later, that we should leave Iraq, and we call them the teachable. And then there are those, as you know, who think we could be there for another 95 years, and we call them the foolish.
Unelectable.
And we are gathered here in their presence today. Did anybody watch the president on television today?
Yeah.
Whoa, wait, why do you bother?
What's he
saying? It's the same speech he's been giving for 5 years. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, they taught him to lip sync one speech. They're not going to take the chance of trying to teach him two. You don't need to watch. It's all the same stuff. I went through the paper real fast in preparation for being here today to tell you about the things that the news is covering. For example, here is one newspaper that says that it's going to be a very expensive war. Oh, now they tell us.
Oh,
a $3 trillion war, but don't worry, because that's only 2 trillion euros. Here is Cheney, Dick Cheney in Baghdad, talking about the enormous success of the war and the surge, the remarkable turnaround of the phenomenal success that we are experiencing. Of course, you will remember 3 years ago when he told you the insurgency was in its last throes. Does he think we don't remember? Here's a story. Military defends delay of screening GI brain injuries. Of course. Story about what's going on in Tibet. You may have noticed. You may have noticed that it's pretty hard to get anything out of the administration about the atrocities and the genocide in Tibet under the current circumstances, since how does one occupier condemn another one? On this day 5 years ago, I gave a talk about the war, my reasons for opposing it, and I tried to find something earthy, normal, human, that everyday people can understand about the tragedy that we were about to unleash on the world. And so I chose the story of the women, the expectant mothers in Baghdad, who were rushing to the hospital before the bomb started to fall to have the doctors perform cesareans on them, so they wouldn't have to give birth under the unknowable conditions of an American invasion. So I look today for another human kind of story that I could share with you to put the cost of the war in some kind of perspective. As you know, there are 4 million Iraqi refugees, 2 million internally, 2 million externally. The story today that you will read in the European press, but not in the American press, is that among the 2 million Iraqi refugees, countries outside of Iraq, 50,000 of the women are forced into prostitution for survival. Now, it's one thing if elected officials have party girls that they're paying for with their own money. It's another thing if we force conditions on the world that women have to do this sort of thing to eat and to provide for their families. Senator McCain, in whose presence we have gathered today, is among the foolish in this age of confusion, an age in which we so badly need a little candor and clarity. You may remember that it was about a year ago that Senator McCain strolled through the streets of Baghdad for a double latte at the local marketplace. And he told us how safe the streets were, that you could walk freely in Baghdad. But then the cameras pulled back to reveal that he was accompanied by 100 American soldiers and 3 Black Hawk helicopters and 2 Apache gunships when he went out for a stroll. Well, Senator McCain has revisited Baghdad now, and guess what? He wanted to go out for another stroll for another latte. But the marketplace with his favorite Starbucks was off limits for security reasons. And then to add insult to injury, to complete the portrait of his confusion, on display yesterday, his fantastic misrepresentations about Iran. Did you hear the senior, snowy-haired, warmongering senator from Arizona making misrepresentations about Iran, in which he said, Al-Qaeda is going back into Iran, and they're receiving training, and they're coming back into Iraq from Iran. And then, Senator Lieberman had to come over and whisper into his ear that he was a little confused about that, and that actually he had to change it and say, well, it's extremists that are coming over, because after all, everybody knows that the Shia in Iran aren't real crazy about the Sunni Al-Qaeda. Everybody knows that, but the senior snowy-haired, warmongering senator from Arizona. So in other words, ladies and gentlemen, now you know that if John McCain is elected president of the United States, when that red telephone rings at 3 o'clock in the morning, he has it forwarded to Joe Lieberman.
Oh, boy, am I relieved about that.
5 years ago, President Bush memoed and certified to Congress that we were going to war in Iraq because of the atrocities of 9/11 and the people behind it used 9/11 to justify the war 5 years ago. Today, my old friend Jim Bovard has pointed out that in the 5 intervening years, he has not produced the evidence to substantiate the war of aggression, and as Bovard says, under the standards of the Nuremberg trials, a war of aggression is a war crime. And you should know that all other crimes that flow forth from the war, all the other crimes, the crimes of killing innocents and Abu Ghraib and torture, all of those other crimes that flow forth from the supreme war crime, which is responsible under the Nuremberg standards for the minor ones as well as the invasion itself. Now, President Bush, in his foolish way, has indulged his adolescent fantasy that there is something romantic and delightful about war. Let us pledge to remove all of these foolish people from the public stage. President Bush, within the last couple of days, talked about Afghanistan and how envious he was of those fighting in Afghanistan, and what a fantastic experience it would be to be in Afghanistan, and how exciting it would be to be in Afghanistan, and how they're really making history there, and he's also very excited and envious. Mr. Bush, you had your chance. You had your chance. If Bush wants to experience the excitement of war on the front lines in Afghanistan, we can take up a collection. If John McCain and his foolishness, this psychological adolescence in which, after all, 100 years, 1,000 years, who really cares? An adolescent psychology that doesn't recognize that there are other people in this dance who may not want to be occupied for another 95 years or for 1,000 years. If Senator McCain wants to continue to project his own dark, purple-faced rage side on people around the world, on other human beings, let us do all in our power to see to it that he is not allowed to do so on the world stage. Let the senior, snowy-haired, war-loving senator from Arizona wrestle with his own inner demons quietly and in private, so that if he wishes to pass through the gates of hell that he invokes so often and so fondly, he can do it without us. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you so much, Charles. Let's give him another hand. Thank you for coming out. Our next speaker is Warren Stewart. He is the minister at the First Institute.
It's a Wendy's drive-thru!
Our next speaker is Warren Stewart, and he is a minister at First Institutional Baptist Church of Phoenix. He led the coalition which successfully campaigned for the Martin Luther King Jr. Civil Rights Days in Arizona.
Good evening, and you look very good out there. We are letting the world know that 5 years is too long. Thank you for having me to come and be one of your speakers. 5 years, too many, 100 years, far too many, Senator McCain. 5 years, too many. 100 years, far too many, Senator McCain. Nearly 4,000 American soldiers killed and tens of thousands of American soldiers who have been wounded and injured. Way too many, Senator John McCain. Hundreds of thousands of Iraqi citizens killed and wounded over the last 5 years. Way too many, Senator John McCain. Nearly one half of $1 trillion of U.S. taxpayers' money being spent on this war, which is an economic pit of Iraqi quicksand. And you're concerned about pork barrel spending in the Congress? Way too many dollars, Senator John McCain. Nearly 5 years of our commander in deceit. Nearly 5 years since our commander in deceit declared mission accomplished on a U.S. dock warship carrier with flags waving and bands playing. Way too long, Senator John McCain. Oil prices at an all-time high. The dollar at a new low. U.S. popularity and respect taking a global nosedive due to our misguided and miscalculated war in Iraq. Way too high a price to pay, Senator John McCain. Confirmed by both military and independent findings that there was no connection between Iraq and Al-Qaeda before you backed President Bush in his Operation Iraqi Freedom U.S.-led invasion on March 19, 2003. Way too wrong for the both of you, Senator John McCain. After the initial shock and awe of bombs bursting in the air over Baghdad, the American public has received nothing but block the raw. Block the raw truth, that is, about this self-centered purpose of this presidentially perpetrated violent conflict. Way too wrong, Senator John McCain. Therefore, Senator John McCain, presumptuous Republican nominee for the presidency of the United States, 4 years of you being our president, way too long and way too wrong. Way too long and way too wrong. Come back home so you can retire and wrong. Come back home so you can retire and wrong. Way too long, way too wrong, Senator John McCain. God bless you.
Our next entertainer.
Pass the word.
Are you ready?
Recall John McCain. Recall file. Somebody wants to jump on board and tell me what to sign. John, resign.
Many of you know, as evidenced by Code Pink nationally, many of the women are against the war in this country and are providing leadership. All right. Anyway, what I wanted to say is that women are providing leadership in the anti-Iraq war movement. And one of the people who's been with us for so long, she was the executive director of the Arizona ACLU, and now she's going to speak with us. She has been a long time community, peace, and civil rights activist, Eleanor Eisenberg.
I was first asked to speak about what happens to civil liberties in the context of the times that we're living in. And I thought about this term that people have used, that we have not been asked, we, the ordinary people, have not been asked to make any sacrifices, while almost 4,000 of our troops that we know about have died in this terrible war. And I started thinking that maybe that wasn't really true, and that we have been asked to sacrifice. And then I thought, maybe we weren't actually asked to sacrifice. Maybe we were told to sacrifice. We were told about the USA Patriot Act. We were told about TSA. We were told about, belatedly, wiretapping. And when I thought about that, I thought maybe we weren't even told about the sacrifices we were about to make. I thought about the loss of our dignity when we go through the airport, and how grateful I am that that nut in Paris was a shoe bomber instead of an underwear bomber. Oh, we'd all be taking our underwear off at the airport. And then I thought about the sacrifices that have been made in our name, and they are serious and long-term. We have sacrificed our good station and position in the world under this administration's total disregard for what our allies think, and in fact for what is right and what is wrong.
Yeah.
We are sacrificing clean air and clean water and the environment.
Yeah.
Because there's no money after this war effort to enforce any of the things that we think are important. We are sacrificing men and women when they come home. We know about close to 4,000 troops that have died. We don't know, because we have not been told, about the uncounted thousands who have died as a result of this war, who are Iraqi citizens. And that's a decision that was made. How cynical and how wrong is that? It's hard to fathom that we would do that. But it's also Americans who have died as a result of this war. The statistics on homicides committed to the dehumanization of troops while they are in Iraq and asked to perform unspeakably cruel, heinous, and inhumane acts that literally drive them around the bend. And we don't know about our troops who have died, but they haven't died on the field from the wounds that were inflicted there. And a decision was made not to tell us about them either. So we weren't asked, we weren't told. It amazes me that with very, very little media, and that's a whole nother subject, covering an anti-war movement, that more than a majority of people in this country are opposed to this war. And we have been told that we don't count. I see some people here who remember the term the silent majority. We have got to be less silent, because we are clearly the majority.
Yes.
And we will have an opportunity, unfortunately, at the time of the 4,000th death. We will have plenty of opportunities, and we have to take every single one of them, on a personal level, on an organized level, on a group level, to end this war and bring our troops back home, try to regain our position of respect in the world, and set things back to right. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Eleanor. I wanted to say that, you know, you talk about the human cause. I just came back from D.C. I spent one day at the Winter Soldier hearing, the Iraq and Afghanistan soldiers. How many of you listened over the Internet? Anybody listen to that? You need to listen to it. These people are being turned into monsters because of the Bush administration. They thought they were volunteering for patriotism and 9/11. And what they clearly understand when they get there, none of the above. So, I just want to say that there's a new movie that's going to be coming out soon. You've got to see it. We may try and do a fundraiser here. It's called Body of War. And it's about an Iraq veteran and his story, personal life. It's fabulous. Anyway, I just want to talk about that human cause. The veterans are getting forgotten. And one of the interesting statements one of them made, don't let our veterans get forgotten while the war is still on. All right, enough of my business. Okay. Our next speaker is Alfredo Gurrieta. Gurrieta? Wow, I really messed up. I'm over my eyes. Alfredo Gurrieta. And this also, he's very involved, has been active in the Arizona Democratic Party. He's very active on immigration issues. He has a show on Radio Campesina. Alfredo Gurrieta.
Thank you all very, very much. Let me share with you a thought that I think is important, and I think we should all recall it. There is a new fiction that they are trying to foist upon us, and that fiction is that 5 years ago, 5 years ago, we could not see the truth. That the intelligence was such that they were confused, and in that confusion had to go to war. That the intelligence was such, false as it may be, nonetheless, the intelligence directed them to proceed forward. And that is why they took the position that they did. And that is why they invaded preemptively another country. And that is why they are responsible, and I use the they. Because it was indeed George Bush, and it was indeed John McCain. It was a Congress full of Democrats and Republicans who chose out of fear and cowardice to vote for that war. They did not have to do that. In that moment, was either an act of courage or an act of cowardice. And 5 years hence, we can look back and indeed take a look at what was it, an act of courage or an act of cowardice. And so we're now thrust 5 years forward, and the argument today is, yes, you may be right, it was an error, it was a horrible mistake and a horrible error, but we can't get out now, because if we were to get out now, something bad might happen. Something worse might happen. Something worse than now exists today might happen. And so we have to once more, according to them, to this famous day, rely on their judgment, rely on their experience, rely on their think tanks, be they Democratic or Republican, be it the DLC or the Goldwater Institute, we must rely on their superior judgment, because they know better than you or I or the millions who marched the streets 5 years ago, than the millions across the world who marched the streets of the world 5 years ago. They know better. And they know that it might take, in the case of some of them, 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years. And in the case of others, our friend John, 100 years. The phrase itself is medieval. There was indeed 100 years war. The phrase is medieval. The torture was medieval. This way of thinking that someone there out there somewhere is different than you and different than I, that someone out there presents a threat because their worldview is slightly different than ours, that they kneel to a different God, that their incantations are in another language, and that they present a special danger, not those who struck us. We knew where they were in Afghanistan. We knew who they were. There were some of bin Laden. No, not them. All of them. The danger was that we would create this Muslim lie that each and every one deserved this preemption, and so we went to war. It is time that we end all of this. But I'm going to tell you something. We only end all of this when we only end all of the lies. And the lies are very simple. They were lying about weapons of mass destruction. They were lying about the imminent threat. They are lying today when they say we have to stay there another 5 years or another 100 years, that we can't possibly get out because that might cause a greater danger. They are lying today. And they, be they a Democrat, they, be they a Republican, should be voted out of office. They should be retired. And we the people, should gain control of our government once again. Thank you all very much.
Thank you, Alfredo, for many years of dedication and many more. Also, Alfredo served in Vietnam. Let's give him a hand. All right, real quick, if you would try to stay in front of our wonderful pink line, we've been instructed. And the other thing is, one of the things that we want you to do, while it's wonderful that you're here and participating, is we would like to see you volunteering and following up on your activism today. We have a table over here where you can sign up with your email. We need artists, we need musicians, we need techies, we need people who could do phone calling, phone banking, all these kinds of things. So please, there's a table right here and then the move-on table over there. Our next entertainment is Deidre Aboud. She is the executive director of the Muslim American Society, Muslim American Society of Arizona Freedom Foundation. On January 18th this year, she was awarded the Phoenix Martin Luther King June Living Dream Award. Deidre Aboud.
You know, I was telling someone earlier that it looks like a family reunion because so many of the people that I see here today, I haven't seen since the 4th anniversary of the war in Iraq. And I guess because from the 5th anniversary, then it should be more like a funeral than a reunion. A reunion has to be a happy occasion. I was part of the original anti-war demonstration or rally that we had before the war started in 2003, and we had over 3,000 people there, which was a record for Phoenix. Tucson beat us at 5,000, but they always beat us on these things. But at the time, the survey said over 70% of the people were for the war, and that was part of the justification, was that the majority of people were for the war. As of today, over 70% of the people, according to the surveys, are against the war. So unless the surveys are just arbitrary whenever they're wanting to be used, does that mean that we now get to leave Iraq? Since we got to go there, the majority of people supposedly wanted it. On the way here, I was listening to the radio, and I won't tell you which one, but anyway, conservative, and they were asking for an hour for people to call in and ask why if they were for the war before and they're against the war now, what changed their mind? One person called in to say that they were against the war before and they're still against the war and they got cut off. Every other call for the whole hour was people who were for the war before and are still for the war. So they didn't take any calls of anybody who changed their mind to tell them why. One of the people called in and said that he had waffled a little bit at one time for a very short period of time because one of his friends was serving in Iraq and sent him an email that said he often wonders if God is looking down on him shaking his head for the awful things that he had done in Iraq. This caused the caller to question the Iraq War for a short period of time. And his friend has been back a year, and to this day will not talk about what happened in Iraq. So the caller decided it must not be important to people talk about it, so therefore there's no reason for him to worry about whether or not he supports the war. He ended his call by saying that he supports the war so much that if they called for a voluntary, for volunteers to come in and be part of the military, he would gladly serve. I think he misunderstood that currently the military is voluntary. So he volunteered and he died. So evidently he was confused and thought that they meant if there was a draft, he would gladly go. And it would be the law, so I guess it wouldn't really matter. As far as the protests that are going on today, they're all over the country. And CNN even covered all day protests in this sporadic way in D.C. and San Francisco. And yet in Arizona, we don't really have mainstream media coverage. And yet, it should be newsworthy considering that over 70% of the people just surveyed said that they're against the war. That should make it newsworthy. Never mind that we have several hundred people who decided to come out on a day when they could go out to eat or even cook dinner. They decided to come out here instead. That shows how important it was to them to do this rather than the many other options that they had. And yet, it's not newsworthy. Also all day, they've been talking about how many troops have died in Iraq. Almost 4,000. They talked about how many people have been wounded from Iraq, U.S. soldiers. Almost 30,000. And again, we have no idea how many people in Iraq have died or been wounded. Evidently, it's not as important as our lives.
All right.
And what about the Iraqi refugees? Last year, it was highly touted in the media that they were going to bring 7,000 Iraqi refugees into this country to escape the life in Iraq that was so horribly bad for them, particularly for the translators who were putting their life and their family's life on the line, and they can't come here either, even if it's going to make sure that they and their family die. And as of now, the numbers for 2007 of the number of refugees that were entered is less than 1,500 out of that 7,000. So it's just another media event. And the excuse, which was on the TV today on CNN, was that we're hoping it'll get better so they won't want to come here and they'll stay there. And if they come here as refugees, it's harder to get them to go back. So I'll end it with this. The most frustrating comment that I hear is that we need to fight them over there so we don't have to fight them over here. I don't know who the hell we're fighting, but a whole bunch of Iraqis are dying. Not to mention Americans. So if you want to fight them over there, if you can figure out who you want to fight, then go ahead and figure it out. But until then, quit telling me that everybody that's not American is okay to die. You are here. Last count, 350. Woo! I just want to say one of the things that I did while I was in D.C., I went to visit Senator Kyle's staff and Senator McCain's staff. And Senator McCain's staff was cordial. But I said to him, you know, what about this 100 years in Iraq statement? He says, oh, that one. Like, oh, no, we do. You bet. So I said to him, you know, Arizona has Republicans, Democrats, and Independents who are sick and tired of our policy, our military presence in Iraq. And so he said to me, well, we differ in our views. I said, well, you know, if people in Arizona don't overwhelmingly support the policies in Iraq,
then John McCain, what's he going to do? Doesn't he want to win the presidency? Silence. Anyway, I just want to encourage you, after today, write letters, phone calls. Kyle's even worse. I know that's hard to believe. But please, they are your two senators, and they're cruising without getting a lot of phone calls, a lot of contact. Thank you. Our next 580 people. So much for red state items. People are not fools. They want us out. Want us out today. Okay, our next speaker is Dennis Stout.
Yay, Dennis!
We all know Dennis. He's an activist here in the community, has been active for years. He served in Vietnam. Give him a hand. He served for us. He's also been an Army journalist who reported war crimes, later described in the Pulitzer Prize winning series, Very Secret, Very True. He is the founder of Phoenix Veterans for Peace and host, and I hope you all listen on Saturdays at 3 o'clock to the Great Veteran Show, 3 p.m. About Face. He is the host along with Mark Fleming and John Henry. Get us out!
I want to thank her for that introduction. Now, today, I knew other people would talk about the 5 years and about the suffering and about the wasted money. So I've decided to talk to you about something that we've been doing. We do counter-recruiting. We go into the high schools when we're invited in to talk to the students. And we just did twice. We went into a working-class high school here in Phoenix. I don't want to get the teacher in trouble. We have to be invited in by a teacher, a student group, or a parent group, because the recruiters can go in every day if they want to, because they're considered a jobs program. Well, we're not. We're considered a political organization because we're for peace. So when we go in to talk to these high schools, we don't tell them war stories about the hardship and things, because that makes the boys want to go do it more. We tell them about what war is really like, and we take pictures that they don't see on their television and aren't included in a video game. We tell them what it's like to actually kill someone, what that feels like, and what it's like to see children who are dead, and what it's like to come back home and feel like a monster, even if the people around you don't consider you that, how hard it is to come back into this society. And we tell them that the reason the recruiters are in this school is because this is a working class high school. The recruiters come in there all the time, and they have two people in their ROTC program that help the recruiters target certain students. If they hear that a parents have broken up, they help the recruiter target that student. Or a boyfriend and girlfriend have broken up, they help them target them while they're depressed. And they get them to sign pre-enlistment agreements and then tell them that if they don't show up, they're violating federal law, when actually they have no obligation at all. So we get in and we tell the truth along with information from the Quakers about what the recruiting contracts really are like. And we tell the kids, the reason they're here after you is because this is where they know people need money for school. They need job training. And they're not going up to Brophy, and they're not going to North Scottsdale, and they're not going to Carefree and Cave Creek because they won't get anyone. Rich kids do not serve in this war. And another reason they want you is because if you're killed, America won't care. Your family will care, your friends will care, but America will not care if the kids in this school are killed, because if your dad was a senator, if your dad was a millionaire, then America would care. But they can recruit you, they can put you through whatever they want to, they can keep you in past your enlistment date, and they can kill you, and they can badly wound you, and they can ignore you because you're working class kids. kids ask me about racism, and I told them about the racism, but I said the larger subject is class warfare. They're after the working class kids, and that's why they're in those schools. The recruiters, the first page of the recruiting manual says, when you get into a high school, make it your own. Take it over. Give the secretaries flowers on Secretary's Day. Get the counselors to come to training sessions at the fort and let them fire the heavy weapons. You know, take the kids on summer camps to the military bases so they can get used to the way of being in the military. So we tell the kids that that's what they're in there for. And the recruiters now have opened recruiting stations in Mexico City and in the Philippines and the Dominican Republic. Now, if you think America doesn't care now about the people who are being killed, imagine when they're foreigners and they're all brown. Well, how much America will care?
Yeah.
All right, I can say a lot about when veterans get back, because that was spoken about earlier. So I'll just leave you with the last verse of a hymn. This was written in 1947, and the first five verses are biblical, but the last one is about veterans. And the song goes, well, the red, white, and blue, and the war has been won. There's no one to care for a poor man's son. Well, red, white, and blue, and the victory's sweet. And then they leave him to die like a tramp on the street.
We love you, Dennis. Woo! Support our veterans.
Support each other.
All right, we are 580, so we're going to have to take a break before our next group of speakers, but we want you to stick around. We have to move our stuff because they're going to turn the sprinklers on. So, get out there on the streets if you're fine. Stick around. We have some more great speakers and more great music. Let's go!
Pull us out of this fast enough. Who will pull us out of this fast enough? No one but the American people will pull us out of this fast enough. Say that the issue in Iraq is a quagmire, sectarian violence. They don't understand it. That's a lie. They said there was weapons of mass destruction. That was a lie. They said that there was a link between Saddam Hussein and Al-Qaeda, and they have admitted. We have not discovered. We knew all along that it wasn't true, but even the culprits behind this war have admitted that there was no link between Saddam Hussein and Al-Qaeda. We have been hijacked. Our young men and women have been sent off to slaughter in a war that should have never taken place. Who are we to hold up a mirror to Iraq? When you look at the money that Arizona has spent contributing to the war, it's been reported to us today that it equals the amount of money that we don't have in the budget to provide for our families right here in this state.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about Baghdad, I'm worried about Maryville. And that's the message that we need to send to our leaders locally and nationally. That the taking advantage of, the raping of the American economy and the American people is a crime that is punishable. And there are people who should be punished, first and foremost, with our president and our vice president. We talk about securing the homeland. We talk about protecting this nation that we all call home. How is it that we can hold up the light of liberty and freedom to the world through imperialistic expansion and the oppression of third world countries? But when our young men and women come home from fighting in Iraq, they can't even get their prosthetic limbs. They can't even get health care. They can't even get a job. They can't even buy a house. They can't even put their kids in school. Something is wrong in this country. When you can send somebody off to die, but when they come home, you treat them like they don't exist at all. Absolutely. You treat our troops like you treat the Iraqi people.
Absolutely.
But the American people have to decide. We have to decide that we're not going to take that anymore.
Yeah.
One of our founding fathers talked about the need for blood to be shed, to keep the tree of liberty fed, and to keep America what it is. And I'm here today to tell you that it is not the blood of us, the hard-working, true American patriots, that should be shed. It is not the blood of the poor and innocent Iraqi people who had nothing to do with Al-Qaeda and nothing to do with September 11th that should be shed. The blood that should be shed should be that of our Congress people and our president, the Republican leadership and the Democratic sellouts that sent us over to Iraq in the first place. You reap what you sow. And look at America. Financial crisis, healthcare crisis, all of the things that our country is suffering from. How come we can't find jobs? How come we can't help homeowners who are struggling with their mortgages? How come we can't provide free education for our children so that we don't have to fight to lead the world? We can't be right to lead the world. The reason we can't afford to do and the reason we can't afford to accomplish the American dream is because people like Senator McCain have squandered the wealth of our mothers and fathers fighting this needless war, this endless war. Enough is enough. Here we are, 40 years from when Fannie Lou Hamer said to the Democratic Party that she was sick and tired of being sick and tired of segregation and discrimination. And so we're here tonight, Reverend Moffitt, myself, and the rest of you saying we're sick and tired of being sick and tired of this sick and tired war led by these sick and tired leaders that aren't listening to the sick and tired American people. Thank you. We've got to fight to get our country back.
Our next speaker is a local man from Levine, and he has a brother that just returned from his first deployment, well, actually returned, I'm sorry, in 2004 from his first deployment from Iraq, and he may be deployed again, so he'd like to make a personal statement about that. Phil Rios.
Thank you very much. My name is William Rios, and it is an honor to address a crowd of sane people. I served proudly in the United States Navy during the Cold War. My brother was deployed to Iraq in 2004. There he led a platoon of 36 men in long-range patrols for a year. By the grace of God, he and his entire unit returned in one piece. Watching the news was and still is a grueling situation for me and my family. I have a very personal reason to see this war end. However, there are so many other reasons. We are embroiled in the middle of a civil war while trying to build a nation at the same time. If some other nation had landed here in the United States during our civil war and demanded to change our government and arrested and disbanded our military, what do you think we would have done? Do you think we would have laid down our arms and done as told by a foreign power? I don't think so. We don't have money to fund preschools, care for our aging population, make higher education accessible, repair bridges, maintain infrastructure, fund the EPA or the FDA. We can flush $17 billion a month down the drain in an operation this administration calls Iraqi freedom. Osama bin Laden could not have dreamed of a more idiotic response to 9/11. This administration has done more harm to our nation with this war than our enemies could have ever dreamed of. The impact of this war on our country, its image abroad, and its effect on our collective soul for years to come cannot be measured. Our current economic crisis is not only the result of failed economic policies, it is a direct result of foreign investors that are watching how we squander our national treasure like an addict that keeps asking for more credit, even though it is killing him. The Soviet Union went bankrupt trying to prevail in Afghanistan. They barely observed the Geneva Convention and they still lost. They had immediate logistical access from their country. It is very difficult for an army to prevail against an insurgency that is using their own children as decoys for suicide attacks. It does not matter how many troops, materials, equipment, diplomacy, training, and infrastructure we pour into this war. Regardless of when we pull out, I am afraid that the Shia and the Shiite will have to sort out their differences like we did during our civil war. Hopefully, they too will have a great leader like Lincoln, rise to the occasion for them. It doesn't matter how many troops, materials, equipment, diplomacy, training, and infrastructure we pour into this war. This war is over. If you want it. I do not want my brother to be sent again to a war that cannot, will not produce any benefit for anybody. Thank you all very much for being here. To the military veterans that have served for us, regardless of the orders that they were giving, and please, speaking up for peace, and thank you for acting up today.
Veterans that were a part of the Winter Soldier in D.C. while I was there. I couldn't believe it. It was like watching children in uniform. I mean, so young. I realize that a lot of people are older as well that are serving, but I couldn't believe. I thought, these are boys. And then I thought about myself when I was 18. I lived in a small town. My father was a World War II veteran. And patriotism was important. And I thought I was going to enlist in the military. And this was during the height of Vietnam. So I love these statements that say, well, you know what you're going to do once you sign the contract. I had no idea what I was going to do. I knew I was patriotic. I knew I wanted to serve my country, but I had no idea about getting killed in Vietnam. I don't know if I would have been because I wasn't a soldier and I wasn't a nurse. But anyway, I just want to say that we've got a lot of young kids that are coming back as men and suffering tremendously. So I hope your brother doesn't have to go again, Bill. Thank you so much. Is an independent candidate. Her name is Annie Lloyd.
Yeah. All right.
Candidate for U.S. Congress.
My name is Annie Lloyd. Is enough enough?
Yeah.
Have you had enough?
Yeah.
Are you ready to make a commitment? to join you in having and saying and standing and saying that enough is enough. This is the choir. You're the choir. You get this. It's time that we reach out. We have Republican Karen Johnson here. We have Democrats here. We have Libertarians here. We have Green Party here. We have Independents here. If we want this to end, and we want our soldiers taken care of, we got to remember, these men and women are doing what our country has asked them to do. They pay for their own food over there. They buy their own socks. They buy their own water. They buy their own soda. We're not taking care of our own here or over there. Enough is enough. Here's the challenge, though, to you. You got to reach across. You got to reach out to the people you don't want to talk to and find the things you've got in common.
Yes.
You've got to resolve the conflict with your friends in your neighborhood.
Yes.
You got to resolve the conflict with inside yourself. You have to, because this won't end unless we do that. You got to find the common ground. You got to find the things that we've got in common and build on that. For us to change what is going on in Washington, we need Republicans, we need Democrats, we need Independents, we need Libertarians, we need all of you. This won't work for you to walk up to me as a candidate for Congress and say, hey, Annie, good luck. This won't work for you to walk up to anybody and say, hey, good luck, I hope you win. If you want it to be different, we got to do it different. If you want to know what the answer is, it's get behind the people that are here. It's supporting the things that we support. If they ain't here, they don't need our support. If they don't stand with us, they don't need our support. If they're not walking with us, if they're not talking with us, they don't need our support. You know who does need our support? Or all of us that are working together. Find the way to build the bridge. Find the way to work with military families and support the kids. Support the men and women that are coming back here, that their families are still here. Send them water. Send them coffee. Send them clean socks, because our government's not. We're the government. Remember that. We're the government. Who's the government of the United States? Who's the government of the United States? Who's going to take back our country? To the table, and then get them to bring 10 more, and get them to bring 10 more, because if it's just the choir doing it, we're not going to do it. Find the candidate. Work for the candidate. Work for the candidate. Work for the people that are standing here with you. Is enough enough?
Yeah.
And work for peace.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Hello? Okay. Thank you, Annie. Inspiring speech. Get active. All politics are local. We got to make some changes in Arizona. Okay, our next speaker. I think many of you know. He's with KPHX. RCC AMX. The backbone of our support. the lifeline to everybody out there. I just want to say KPHX has been a wonderful supporter the last 2 weeks. They've been running ads for us. They ran ads for us for the Winter Soldier. They have been so cooperative. Anyway, Jeff Farias. 3 to 6, Monday through Friday. If you haven't listened to him, check him out, 1480 KPHX. Jeff?
My friends, John McCain wants to be your president. John McCain is a veteran. Yet time and time again, when given the opportunity to support veterans and fund the VA, John McCain votes the other way. But John McCain wants to be your president, my friends. But that John McCain was captured and tortured by the Viet Cong, spent 5 years in the Hanoi Hilton. John McCain knows firsthand what torture is and that it doesn't work. And although making a public showing against torture, turns around and votes to support George Bush and waterboarding and torturing people around the world in your name. John McCain wants to be your president, my friend. John McCain was a warrior. He's seen war firsthand. He knows the smell of war. He knows the devastation of war, the destruction of war. Yet John McCain wants the Iraq War to last 100 years. John McCain wants to be your president, my friend. In 5 years in Iraq, we've lost nearly 4,000 soldiers. Another 40,000 have been seriously wounded. Financially, we've spent $2 trillion of money borrowed from the Chinese government. Millions and millions of Iraqi citizens have either been killed or displaced. But these are just numbers. There's no way to calculate the tears shed. The families who look at an empty seat every night at the dinner table. The children who only know of their, will only grow up knowing of a parent from a photograph. The pain of that empty spot in the bed where their loved one will never return. These are incalculable. There are no numbers to describe this pain, this anguish. And John McCain wants to bring 100 more years of this pain to you, the American people. John McCain wants to be your president, my friends. Today we mark the 5th anniversary. I've got something to say. You can talk to me when I'm done, if you'd like. Why don't you shut up now and give me the courtesy of speaking. I have all the time in the world to hear your complaint off to the side. Be a man and shut up. Today we mark the 5th anniversary of the illegal invasion and continued occupation of the country of Iraq. We come together to speak out. But I urge you to consider this event not a destination, but a launching pad. And I want us all to resolve to continue to fight, to resist, and to speak truth to power. And demand an end to this illegal occupation and to bring our troops home now. Won't you say it with me? Bring them home!
Bring them home!
Now!
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 Stirring, full of spirit, and I hope all of you are getting inspired by this evening. Today, are you? Alright. Okay, what we're going to do, I'm going to make a quick announcement, and then we're getting ready for the candlelight vigil. Thomas is going to play while we're getting the candlelight vigil organized. Friday, another April 11th, another truth teller. Ray McGovern!
Yeah!
Ray McGovern!
Yeah.
is going to be talking, Grace Lutheran Church in Phoenix. Get your ticket at Speak the Truth to Power. Thank you.
This concludes reporting in front of Senator McCain's office on the 19th, where it was a day of national protests. There was close to 500 protesters here. There were no arrests, and protesters were lined up on both sides of the street in front of McCain's office. And here's a limited collection of what the local corporate TV news said about the protest.
We were surrounded by hundreds of anti-war protesters. When the sun finally went down, the protesters put down their signs for a moment and raised up burning candles. The candlelight vigil was in honor of the more than 4,000 soldiers who lost their lives fighting in the war in Iraq. A war protesters say should have never happened.
This is the worst foreign policy blunder the U.S. has ever made.
One more name is one too many.
We have an economic crisis in this country, and the war is a big part of it.
The protesters chose this intersection because it's outside Senator John McCain's office. Republican candidate for president supports the war in Iraq.
We're against McCain. He has no business even running for president.
The protests remained peaceful. However, there were a few arguments between protesters and motorists who support the war.
Oh, they're idiots.
There was also a heated exchange or two between anti-war protesters and a few Iraq War supporters who showed up here. Fred Thomas came out to show his support of the war. He has a son fighting in Iraq right now.
It's going to be incredibly expensive, and yeah, the loss of life is horrific. The loss of life is horrific, but what is the alternative? I mean, really.
And there was a police presence here today, but it really wasn't needed, unlike in some of the other protests around the country where we saw a serious number of arrests.
All right, Howard, thank you very much. Veterans for Peace and the Arizona Advocacy Network. They chose this spot on 16th Street in Missouri as the location for this protest, right outside Senator John McCain's Phoenix office.
Senator McCain, retire and come home. You don't need to be our president, because with your philosophy on the war, 100 years is way too long.
Aggie Thomas also felt it was important to voice her opinion. She supports the war in Iraq and came here to counter-protest.
So if we cut and run now, a bunch of Iraqis will die.
She had to put up with a few hecklers in the crowd, but she didn't mind.
I think it's great they can be in this country and do that. You know, they have that freedom.
Allie Rasmus, Fox 10 News.
Signs and waving flags, and they do this every year, but this time the turnout was much larger.
Get the helicopters, airplanes, trucks, get everybody out as quickly as possible, hand over the keys and the money to the people of Iraq. I was really excited to see all the people that were out tonight, and it gave me a lot of hope for, you know, the people of America, and that there is a movement going on. So I was out here a year ago, and there was, you know, 10% of this crowd. No arrests are reported in Phoenix, but 100 people arrested in San Francisco after chaining themselves to buildings and blocking traffic.